On FM, on DAB, and up to date on social media. We are Radio Newark. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Tonight, it's Junior Showcase time. A Sport HQ debut and a new sport for us to talk about. The twins are back. Graham's had a busy stride as Christmas and New Year and he reports on what they've been up to. Yes, it's action-packed, it's renowned, it is Radio Newark Sport. And as it's junior night, let's find out what they've all been up to. Long Bennington Football Club started the year in a mean mood with a 13-0 demolition of Holy Spirit. They needed a bit of help from somewhere. Corbin Reid and Sam Wright both scoring hat-tricks. Benno's lead at the top of the Notts Youth League under 18 division, a 7 clear points. Newark Town under 18s, they enjoyed a 6-0 victory at Loudham. Sam Graves scoring a brace. There was also a local derby in the under-16 section at Station Road, with the home side beating Newark by the odd goal in three. Callum Gilmore and Jack Sinclair scoring the villagers' goals. And talking of Collingham, their under-18s began the year as league leaders, County Cup semi-finalists and in two League Cup quarter-finals. Should be a decent second half of the season. Turning to rugby, and Newark under-14s beat Dinnington by 60 points to 19. And the under-18 girls, they went to Lutterworth and smashed them, as Megan would say. Amelia Crispin started her cross-country season by representing Newark AC in the Notts County Championships at Woolerton Park. In her first year as an under-15 girl, she crossed the line of clear second place and a great silver medal, which qualifies her to represent Nottinghamshire in the National Inter-Counties Finals in March. And Laura Bates also collected a silver medal in the under-20s. And she goes to the county finals. Jasmine Braithwaite coming home fourth in the under-11 girls. And 24 hours later, it was the turn of the Lincolnshires teams, with Chloe Hubbard collecting a gold again in the senior ladies' race. Finlay Cranage made it through to the B final, finishing fourth in the Nottingham BMX Winter League. A bit disappointed by all accounts, as his New Year's resolution was to start making those A finals. And finally, Harry Wainwright got 2019 off to the best possible start, driving really well, and in a close finish pulled off a great move on the last lap to take a deserved victory at the PFI at the weekend. Good evening, I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and we seem, Tony, to have started with the youngsters where we left off last year.
That couldn't have been done better, could it?
That's timing, that was, wasn't it?
Absolutely, it's like you planned it.
I have a propensity for good timing.
I tell you, man, I looked it up as well, did you?
No, I took your word for it. The word of the week.
Yeah, good word.
The Wildman word of the week.
I'm just looking around at all this
chocolate. Well, I didn't think the Wildman word of the week.
I'm just looking around at all this chocolate.
You didn't, you're not.
I'm not.
Moving on.
Is that to come later?
No, it's not to come at all. Moving on. Finlay Cranage, Harry Wainwright, Amelia, those all out at the weekend, those all doing the bit. You've said it before, time and time again. Since you've sort of got yourself back into sport, the kids in this town just completely amaze you one week to the next.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... It bodes so well for the future, doesn't it? I mean, we all. I've just been driving on the way here, and I passed somebody I've not seen for donkey's years, Neil Dodd. And anybody who knows the football around town,
he's a cracking footballer.
We'll certainly know that name. I used to love watching him play for Hopewell Farrer, and it's lovely to meet the old guys. But in a job like this, it's lovely to know that our job is safe for another 30 years, because we are just, the town is just producing so many stars of the future.
And there's one more that can be introduced to in a couple of minutes.
But I mean, it's not only stars of the future, but internationals. You know, not just the best in town, but blooming heck.
I was reading a report tonight from Ed Howlett, who spent the weekend representing GB in Italy. How good is that?
Yeah. His mum gets around, doesn't she?
Exactly. She gets the air miles in. Amelia Crispin, Laura Bates. I'm sure the Twins are going to talk about the Athletics, but now they've got a track as well.
Mm.
There's no stopping them.
Yeah, you ought to see that track under the lights. It is.
You've seen it, haven't you? You've been there.
It's something to behold. Like I say, when it's dark all the way around, obviously at night time, you can see I've done a lot of research on this. And basically, it's just, you don't have to use your imagination a great deal to imagine packed Olympic stands around it. It is just class, sheer quality.
This town's going places.
Mm.
This town is really going places. And it's typical of you to get a free trip round the running track. You got a freebie round the Newark Rugby Club's changing rooms.
It wasn't a free trip. You have to walk past it to get to training with Flow Serve.
Not, I hasten to add, that Tony actually does train with anybody.
No, it's not bad. 7 minutes, and I've only just mentioned Flow Serve. That's quite good.
For you, it's remarkable. It's the one and only time he's going to mention him tonight. Because if he mentions Flow Serve again, I pull that down like that.
Yeah.
So there you go. Right, our first guest of 2000. There's a distinction, isn't it? The first guest of 2019. There's an honour for the young man. And he's taking the fishing world by storm. So we're going to find out all about him in a minute. But first of all, you and fishing, because in your tenure on the back pages of the local rag, fishing in Newark at that stage was absolutely massive. Now, I think it's either not been reported on or it's lost a little bit of what it had. But going back to when you was there, everybody wanted to come to Newark fishing.
Yeah, I mean, when I was... so you're talking 1986 to 2011, it was the number one sport. And you used to get 10,000 people from all over the country on the banks of the Trent at a weekend. And, you know, people used to say, "Where do you live now?" "Newark in Nottinghamshire." "Oh, my God, that is the mecca of the angling world." But as I say, I can't really say anything about the last 7 or 8 or 9 years since I've left and what sort of coverage they get now. But, you know, it used to be the number one sport in Newark. And, you know, I was just telling the guys there beforehand that, I mean, I've been on many great angling trips with the likes of Pete Willis and Rodney Cauldron. And it is just fascinating to be there. The way that people commune with nature on the riverbank is incredible.
So I was so pleased to find a young man who has chosen fishing for his sport. Tyler Bird has qualified for the final round of assessments in his quest to join the England under-15 squad. Bearing in mind, the young man is 13. The Newark angler put himself in the mix when he applied to be in the squad on October the 4th in the first round of qualification at Lake Snakes. I must find out where Lake Snakes are. That sounds like it's Canada he had to go to. anyway, he came out on top despite being the youngest competitor. So there's lots to find out about him. So let's say a very good Radio Newark Sport welcome to Tyler Bird.
Evening, everyone.
Good evening. Right, a young man who's taken up fishing, he's not gone to play football, he's not gone to play rugby, he's decided fishing. So let's go start right at the beginning, Tyler. Let's tell us a bit about yourself. What school do you go to? Where do you live? And all things like that. Let's find out a bit about Tyler.
I go to Tuxford Academy. I live at Newark with my dad and Ollerton with my mum. I've started fishing with my dad when I was 6 years old, so come on from then.
So this is all Dad's fault then, really, isn't it? he got you the bug. Why fishing then and not football or rugby or...?
Well, I've done all of them. I've gone from football to go-karting to rugby, and I've finally found something that I love. So I've stuck with fishing this time.
Because fishing can be a lonely sport, I would have thought, because you're sitting there for 5-6 hours on your own. Do you prefer that to a team sport, then?
I love team sports, but when I'm with my dad, it's all right. I've got someone to joke with and all my fishing friends around me, so it's all good.
You see, Dad's coming very handy for a lot of things.
We were actually talking before the show.
It's amazing how much of a conversation you had to say you got here at 3 minutes to 7.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And thank you to the Newark traffic. It's been wonderful again. It's great to be back. But The first angling match I went to, Rodney Cauldron asked me, it was actually an advertiser angling match, I remember it correctly now, and it was a big trophy and a big tournament in those days, and my job was to go along there, blow the whistle at 10 o'clock to kick off the action, and then blow the whistle at 4 o'clock, and then do the weigh-in and do a speech and hand out the trophies. And I was having a meal with my wife the night before, and she said, "You're doing what tomorrow? You're going to be bored to death, aren't you? 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock, just sitting there." And so Rodney said, "Blow the whistle at 10 o'clock." So I blew the whistle, and then what seemed like 2 minutes later, he turned around and went, "Blow the whistle again." I said, "Oh, I've just blown it." And he said, "No, it's 4 o'clock." And it just goes like that.
It probably was 2 minutes if he got you to talk.
No, it was just absorbing. You just lose yourself in the, communion with nature.
I cannot think anything better than to sit in on a riverbank or the side of a pond in June or July with a fishing rod and a couple of tinnies in your keep net. I can think of a lot of things better, Tyler, than sitting on the side of a pond in January. It's a sport of really two seasons, isn't it? Because, as I say, in the summer, you're out there in your T-shirt and the world's lovely and this is great, but how do you get the momentum to go out in the middle of winter when it's blowing a gale or it's raining or it's freezing and you've got to get out there and literally sit in that weather for 6 hours?
Well, I get wrapped up. can earn some money, so that's how I do it.
You see, the true Newarker is coming out here. He can earn something. Now we're getting somewhere.
And as a Yorkshire lad, respect.
Right, so as a six-year-old, the first time your dad took you fishing, was it instant love for fishing, or did you think, why am I here?
Well, I used to sit on my dad's toolbox with some floats in, and my dad used to set my rod up for me, and then I ended up fishing till I was about 8 or 9. We used to go after school, and then I stopped for 2 years or 3, and then me and my friend went to Portland Waters, and I come on from then.
Okay, so you're gonna have to help me out. Where's Portland Waters?
Sibthorpe.
It's Sibthorpe, right? Okay, and that is one of your favourite lakes, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been there a few times.
Nowadays, do you need your dad as transport? But I take it you are more than capable of setting everything up, because it's not just, you don't have to just go and put things up. You have to look at the conditions, I would suggest, and to see what setup you need. Just explain to me the intricacies of that.
Well, I get a bit mardy at my dad when he starts trying to help me.
He's a Newarker, isn't he?
So with my line and things, I need to scale that down, so go a bit lighter. And my elastic, what's in my pole, and that's the only thing I need to do with my, like, with it being cold and in the warm and things like that. So in the warm, you need a bit stronger stuff, and in the colder, you need a bit cooler, lighter.
Does a fish bite better in the winter or summer? I mean, when it's freezing cold, do the fish play, or do the fish sort of, no, I'm not interested?
In the summer, I'm capable of 300 pound weights and things like that.
300 pound?
My best so far is 280.
I was surprised when I used to catch 2. Fish, not pound.
And then in the winter, you need to, like, not feed as much, and you should be happy if you catch 2 or 3 fish. Never mind 280 pounds of fish.
Because I want to talk to you when we come back after we've talked athletics, because there's a big argument, I think, that is pond fishing proper fishing, or is it river fishing that is the proper fishing when you've got the current moving the float, whereas in the pond you haven't. So I want to know your opinions on that when we come back, because I think that's an argument that a lot of fishermen are having at the moment. But first of all, how did you get from going with your dad to the brink of England?
I've watched a lot of YouTube videos. I've watched people on the bank. I've gone and sat behind them at my local venues, and I've done a bit of research, and my dad's taught me the simple stuff, and now I'm going on to a bit complicated stuff now.
I like that one. You can make it out of, you know, when you do your thoughts for the year.
And that's why we need webcam, because
you're
going
to have to remember that one. Dad's face was an absolute picture. My dad taught me the simple stuff. Brilliant. Well done, Tyler.
Tyler won, Dad. No.
You're our new favourite, you are. But watching YouTube videos is okay, but you've got to get out there and do it.
A lot of practice has been, you're,
to put it bluntly, a boy in a man's world.
Well, yeah, you don't see many juniors fishing anymore. I've only fished a few kids' matches, and it's been such fun with having a joke around with people and people my own age fishing against them.
How do the ratty old fishermen of Newark take it when a 13-year-old youngster comes in and steals the show? Do they support you, or are you the sort of it's him again?
Well, at the start they was all really lovely and helping me with the stuff and lending me things, and then I started beating a few and they've stopped a bit. They're getting a bit grumpy with me at the minute.
I'll tell you what, I found a star here, Tony. An absolute star. Just before we go, the man that does the simple things, Dad's here at Well. Dad, welcome to Radio Newark Sport. I think you've heard it all before, haven't you?
I've heard it all before, but he's doing so good. I'm so proud of him. Doing a really cracking job.
And the bit about the boy in the man's world, we've already worked out that now he's... He can stand up for himself.
He certainly can. As you said, I taught him the simple things, and he's certainly progressed now.
This is a rod.
he's really, really improved, and he's certainly a threat this year in our club matches.
Who's the better fisherman?
I don't fish now.
Oh, that's a get-out, Tony. That's a get-out. Right, we'll come back to fishing in a couple of minutes, because I need to know, pond fishing or river fishing? We need to find that one out next. But next, it's the twins. Right, we're trying to get hold of the twins, but they don't seem to be out running, or if they do, the phones are not working, so I've dispatched Tony off to try again. But just to put one thing light, I've found out what Lake Snakes is. It's not a venue, it's an actual fishing club. So, Dad, tell me a bit about Lake Snakes and where it is, please.
Lake Snakes is a Nottingham-based fishing club. Tyler's done the last two winter leagues with the Lake Snakes.
Sorry, one man can make such a noise walking into a door, walking through a door, than Tony Smith. It'd be no good fishing. The fish wouldn't go anywhere near. So we now know what Lake Snakes is, and that's
flashing.
Absolutely. And with a little bit of luck, if I press that and then press that, the twins are there. Hello.
Sorry, I'm not sure why it just didn't ring.
Oh, you... thought Santa would have brought you a decent phone for Christmas.
Yeah.
Right, Happy New Year. Is it one of you or two of you?
Yeah, both of us.
Oh, we're in stereo, so it's definitely two of you. You've got an awful lot to tell me about, because it was a massive busy weekend of county championships, of Luke Sayer, and... Big sister's going home. She's home. Going away tomorrow.
Yeah, she's going back home tomorrow.
So, lots to talk about. I'm going to shut up and leave it all to you two.
So, first of all, we've got a big well done to Luke Sayer, who did the combined events indoor championships on the weekend. He had a tough event against a lot of people, and some of these include the 6 England internationals, 3 Scottish and 2 Welsh international competitors. He got PBs in the 60-metre sprint and the 60-metre hurdles. And in the 1,000 metres, he showed good speed with the 250-metre to sprint home. Overall, he finished in 21st position, which he was a little bit disappointed with. But in the country, that's actually pretty good, especially for his first indoor competition. So all his hard work's definitely paying off. next, we had the cross-country Lincolnshire County Champs on Sunday at Biscothorpe. We had a...
Have you gone?
And she had a superb sprint finish to take place from Lincoln Wellington's Laura Wilkinson. We had our ex-Newark AC runner, Linton Taylor, who also got county champion for the senior men's race. Tom Hubbard also had a great race up front. Vet saw Gareth Owens bringing up the rear with also a good run. We had another county champion, Niamh Monaghan, who secured first for the under-13s. Kelly Monaghan and Catherine Booth also had good runs in the under-15 race. Alex Ellis was third in the under-17 boys race. And I came ninth and Tilly came eighth in the under-17s race. And finally, we had Amber Owens, who came second in the under-20 race. And a special mention to Harriet Monaghan for all her cheers and shouts and encouragement throughout all the races. And then on the Saturday, we had a big welcome to everyone who did the Notts County Championships. And there was a great second place for Amelia Crispin and Laura Bates. And Amelia was in the under-15s race and Laura Bates in the under-20s. And then a really good finish, fourth place for Jasmine Braithwaite in the under-11s. And in the under-13s saw Josh Clee, 14th. In the under-20s slash senior men ran Aaron Golding, who was 6th, under-20, Tim Bagley, 21st senior, and Carl Braithwaite, 24th in the 45 to 54 age group. So everyone had a really good weekend.
Cross country season sort of in the new year started with one heck of a bang, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, definitely.
Let's go to Lincolnshire there with you two, because if you want to go on to our Radio Newark's or Newark Athletic Club social media pages, they will see both of you two and your sister and many more running through what looked like a river.
Yeah, there was four rivers. There was three quite big ones, and then there was like a marshy kind of dike. But it was good fun, actually. It like made the course, and then there was another like steep downhill into like mud, which was like hard because it was like so slippy and like the mud was all sticky. But it was a good race.
Now, in a first for the Owens family, do I assume that you all managed to stay standing up when it come to water?
Yeah, nobody actually fell over, did they? No. Not another steeplechase debut, no.
Was you pleased with 8th and 9th then?
Yeah, I was happy with that because we went in, there's not many people in Lincolnshire, we went in knowing like our positions already and we managed to get the positions we said we were going to get, so that's quite good. Like, we're both happy with that.
Excellent. The whole sort of athletics world again is talking about Chloe Hubbard, and she started 2019 the way she finished 2018 with a gold medal around her neck.
Yeah, she had, at the end it was a sprint finish against another girl, and like that other girl had been ahead of Chloe the whole race, and Chloe just managed to get past her at the end. It was such a good finish to watch.
And after an awful lot of negotiation, she's agreed that she's coming on the sports show at the end of January. So
is
she's
she? That's
yes,
good.
Yes, she's finally agreed to come and see us. So we look forward to finding out about the new golden girl of Newark Athletic Club.
Definitely,
because the other golden girl is on a plane back to America tomorrow.
Yes, she is. Yeah,
you sound quite sad.
Yeah, she might end up not going though because of the Heathrow. So she's flying from Heathrow tomorrow.
Of course, somebody found a drone within 50 miles of Heathrow, so they shut the airport.
Yeah, but apparently it's back open and everything now, so she should be fine. Fingers crossed.
And she's
not coming home. We've already got all our room and stuff ready for tomorrow. But as soon as she's gone, that's it. All her clothes are gone.
You're supposed to miss your big sister.
Yeah. In our dreams. Maybe.
I take it she's not listening.
No, she's running around the track at the moment.
What's coming up this weekend? Because it is a massively busy time of year, isn't it?
We've got North Mids this weekend, the last one at Wollaston Park on Saturday. And I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just the North Mids.
And the phone, you can tell us all about that next Tuesday night, assuming you've got yourself a phone that actually works.
Would you like to speak to Amber?
If Amber's there, yes, please.
Yeah, we can do. Yeah, she's coming. She's just on the track.
There you are, I see, live on Radio Newark Sport.
Live on Radio Newark.
We are now talking to the international superstar that is Amber Owens. Amber.
Hello.
Hello, and this is it, the end of a very quick trip back to the UK.
And if I can get to Heathrow, then yeah.
Well, the plane's working again, so as long as it's in the right place, and I'm sure the American stuff will take priority. You're on your way back tomorrow. The twins have already told us how much they're going to miss you. I assume you'll miss them the same.
Can I laugh really loudly at that? Because I don't think they're going to miss me that much.
Oh, they was. Oh, they was almost crying.
We were nearly crying, yeah.
Oh, God, they wouldn't be crying. I think cheering.
Crying with laughter for happiness. Yeah, maybe.
Amber, how long are you away for this time?
I come back, I think, the 3rd of May. So.
The 3rd of May. Well, when you come back this time, forget the part-time jobs or anything like that. You need to be coming into this studio, so make sure we can get you booked in. So you can
I'm
tell
sure.
you can.
I'll tell them at work.
You can tell us all about your American dream. Radio Nook takes him. I'll let you off at Christmas, but when you're back in May, it takes number one priority. Amber, it goes without saying, look after yourself. We'll keep up to date with what you're up to on the social media pages, and we'll keep telling the whole of Newark of how your running's getting on. Enjoy yourself, stay safe, and we look forward to meeting up with you again very soon.
Thank you. Look after yourself too.
Bye, Amber. Bye, twins.
Bye.
We'll talk to
you.
Bye. There we go. That's the twins and big sister from Newark Athletic Club. And, of course, Amber's back over to America, where she's on a degree over there, and her running is coming on leaps and bounds. So let's just wait for May, and then she can... Oh, you want to say something?
I was just going to say... Amber's just been running around a track and sounds like that.
Yes.
If it had been you or me, it'd have sounded like a dodgy phone call, wouldn't it?
Tony, we want you off to run round a track. Right, before we get back to Tyler, who is going to tell me if it's pond fishing or if it's river fishing, and I'm sure that's not going to upset anybody whatsoever, because he's already said his dad just does the... What was it?
Simple stuff.
The simple stuff, so I'm sure he's going to have an opinion on this one. Let's have a one-minute look at some of the national headlines. And Neil Warnock has accused Liverpool of a lack of class after Reds defender Nicol Klein completed the move to Bournemouth after he agreed to join Cardiff. I'm disappointed having known the player and given him his debut. I'm not just disappointed with the boy himself, but with Liverpool for not ringing me and not telling me. It's a disgrace and a total lack of class. Virat Kohli says captain India to his first Test Series victory in Australia is the proudest moment of his career. The 2-1 series win was confirmed when the fifth day of the fourth Test in Sydney was washed out. Jurgen Klopp's dismal FA Cup record continued with defeat at Wolves. He has never progressed further than the fourth round of the competition. Well, he should pick a decent team then, shouldn't he? And Gary Rowett has been sacked by Championship side Stoke City after 8 months in charge. And Tottenham midfielder Dembele is on the brink of an £11 million move to China.
Radio Newark Sport.
Very quickly, Tony, an £11 million move to Chinese Super League club Beijing. Well, that's going to favour his career, and I'm sure it's not just for money.
No, it's just I can't understand why people do that at all. I mean, it's obviously totally for money. But, I mean, I would rather have a good football career, wouldn't you?
Well, you're going to get one career, and that's it. And OK, he must be rich now, because he ain't on peanuts at Tottenham.
No.
You know, to the rest of the world, he's very rich.
But you know, I mean, it's... You know,
and he's going over to play in a standard that's akin to Newark Sunday Alliance, and I'm not disrespecting Newark Sunday Alliance.
No, but it's very true. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, obviously Jim Mackay, who will be known to a lot of people, he's out in China now, and he says the standard of the football is not very, very good at all. And if you are a good footballer, why go out and play in it?
Starting in 2019, we're having a Wednesday whinge. Well, my Wednesday whinge tomorrow involves cricket. Your Wednesday whinge next week is all about the FA Cup. And, well, if Liverpool don't win the championship, Klopp's failed, hasn't he? It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it's a very, very disappointing thing that, you know, that the top flight sides field weakened teams for the FA Cup. I mean, I'm going to save my powder... For next Wednesday, but it is a disgrace what they've done to that competition.
Absolutely.
It used to be the greatest competition in the world, and now it's a laughingstock, by the way, that people like Jurgen Klopp, who have got a lot of time for, treat the competition.
So, the question is, The River Trent was renowned for being the best river fishing in the country. Now, around Newark, there's a lot of fantastic ponds. So, Mr. Bird, here we go. We're going to put you to the test. Come a bit close to that microphone and tell me, first of all, what you prefer, river fishing or pond fishing?
Well, I prefer a bit of pond fishing, but I do like a little go on the river.
Why is pond fishing so popular? And is it because, or is it easier than river fishing?
At least you go to a pond knowing you're going to catch something. And with a river fishing, you're not sure if you're going to catch anything or you're going to catch loads.
But doesn't the river fishing pit you against the river to find out who's going to come out on top?
It's a luck of the draw bag. If you draw well on the river, you'll catch well. And if you don't, it's a completely different matter.
Pond fishing, commercial fishing, I think is what you called it earlier on, is very popular, and a lot of the championships are now held on ponds. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a lot of tactics and how people fish. It's a lot to do with the feeding, how you feed your bait and things like that.
Does it matter so much in a pond what the draw is? Because, I mean, if you can get a draw on the river and you've got the one that's had the cows in the paddling about all morning and churning everything. Well, it happens, doesn't it? And churning everything up. You don't stand a chance, do you? On a pond, is it a more equal... It's not a playing field, it's a pond before you tell me. Is it a more equal playing field?
It can be, but, like, if you draw on a bunch of fish, you're going to win the match. And if you don't draw on any fish, it's very hard in this time of year to get the fish in our pegs.
So let's go for the moment then to one of your favourites, Portland at Sibthorpe. What type of fish are you going to catch in there?
Carp, mainly carp.
So, to a layman like me, how do you set up differently to catch a carp than you would in the Trent to catch a gudgeon? Say I.
Moving on swiftly from paddling cows.
I would fish a lot lighter stuff in the river. I'd feed maggots instead of pellets, or I'd probably this time of year I would do similar, but I don't do as much river fishing, so I'm not too sure and that sort of thing. But
in the ponds, is there any bait that you can't use? Is this sort of...
Well, at some venues, there's, like, ban of meat and ban of ground bait and things like that, but...
So what's the thinking behind that? What?
Well, I think it's because so you don't get, like, the lake really dirty at the bottom and things, so...
Because I suppose if you are putting basically rotten meat in the bottom, you're almost inviting parasites of some description.
Well, it's, like, mainly... With the, because there's going to be mainly most lakes, it's 24 pegs and things like that. So, 24 people are putting a bunch of bait in, the lake's going to be a bit messy and things.
With it being, this is probably going to get a bit technical for you, Tony, but bear with me.
I got stuck at paddling cows, mate.
I fished on the Trent before with me and about.
Did you take your own cow?
And about half a dozen cows standing next to me. And don't you dare make any comment. What about disease in the pond? So obviously in a river, they've got the whole river, but in a pond, they're in a confined area. So do they have to be replenished, the fish replenished, and do ponds suffer from disease?
Well, most lakes, if you're using their nets, what you put your fish in, you need to, like, put them in this chemical stuff, what cleans them and gets all the stuff out, then leave them behind your peg till the last 15 minutes of, like, your setting up time. But most places these days you get, like, already nets provided for you, so they don't only get the disease what's in their lake. But
right, okay, you see, it's, you're going to Coventry in April.
Oh yeah, for the second round of the England assessment with the manager being Joe Roberts.
So, just tell me anything about it, all about it, because I know nothing about this. I take it there's a group of you.
Yeah, there's a...
That's going to fish in a, going to fish a lake, and while you're fishing, then the England guys are wandering around technique. Yeah. I don't. I take it on, it's not just what you catch on the day, it's everything.
If you catch a pound, but you fish how he wants you to, there's more likely you getting in. But if you catch 100 pound and not fish how you want him, how he wants you to, there's more likely he's not going to pick you.
So the gentleman that you mentioned, it was...
Joe Roberts.
And Joe Roberts is?
The England under 15 manager.
Okay, so he's the one that's invited you?
Yeah.
And a group of you, I assume?
Yeah, he's invited, I think it's 11 people.
So just let's assume, and I'm sure it's going to happen, that you actually qualify for England.
Hopefully.
How do England have internationals at fishing?
Well, it's different sort of fishing to the sort of fishing I've been doing. So I've had to put a lot of practice in it on the river and things.
Stu Redmond's helped me, hasn't he?
Yeah, Stu Redmond's been a massive help with these sort of fishing. He's took me out on a day's fishing, coaching at I Kettleby. It's a lovely lake there.
So, just to make sure that we do this now and don't run out of time, it doesn't get done. Not only has Dad helped you, go on, say it, Tony.
Sorry?
I said not only has Dad helped him, but...
The simple stuff. Yeah.
Right. You see, if you try and keep up, it looks like we know what we're talking about. So shall we do that one again?
I can't lose this paddling cows idea.
Not only has Dad helped you...
Simple stuff.
That's the way it should have been. If it's a breakfast show, that's how it would have been.
It would be, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. We need more chocolate.
You've also got a group around you that's helping you financially, helping you with equipment, and this seems a good opportunity for you to say thank you to them.
I've got to say a massive thank you to Future Fishing at Farndon. They've helped me a lot. Thank you, Jan. Stu Redman with his help and helping me to get into the assessment for England because it's a different sort of fishing. Got to say a big thank you to my granddad who's helped me financially with buying my stuff. My dad, my mum has helped me financially with it all. My stepdad. Jerry Woodcock, Paul Floats. He's helped me with... He's gave me loads of floats lately, thank you. Dynamite Baits has helped me with some discount off on their bait, so that's helped us a lot.
That's the way you would fish with dynamite.
Marcella, they've just picked me up. That's a luggage company, so I've got to say thank you to them. Can't think of any more to say thank you to.
What's the state of fishing? I mean, is it, you know, when I started off this with Tony and said how big it was in the 70s and 80s, it was massive. Is it still big?
Fishing's a big sport, but not for the young age people. There's only about 20 people I know who's my age or older or younger that actually fishes like this. So I need to get more people in fishing and things.
Is that a worry, Tony, for the future of the sport?
I think it's a worry for any sport when you're not getting the youngsters back in it. But it's a difficult one to attract people to because it's a bit like Marmite, it's fishing, because you either love it to bits or, you know, it's, yeah, I don't go in that. I'd rather be at home in the warm with my, sort of PlayStation or console for the computers, whatever. You know, it's just very, very difficult. Angling is still pretty much old school and it's very... very difficult to attract the new generation to it.
The TV stuff, though, with Matt Hayes, for one, that's must encourage the youngsters into it because he's proven it's not an old fuddy-duddy sport.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, if people watch angling programmes, like, you know, with people with Robson Green or whatever, I mean, it's as fascinating as being there. And then, like, sort of, if people can get the bug... If they can get hooked, if I can use that one. You know what I mean? But it is a fantastic, fascinating sport to be involved with.
Awful.
Yeah, no, it's awful.
Let me just float another idea with Dad. Dad, just come forward. Obviously, you're there to support him, like any parent that we have in these studios. And I've got no doubt if I ask the question they ask everybody and said, if you come home tomorrow night and said, I'm not really bothered about fishing anymore, you'll say, well, okay, fair enough, you don't make them doing it. But while he's doing it, he's obviously got your full support.
Oh, most definitely. He's 100% into this sport. He puts so much time and effort into preparing everything before we go on a Saturday or a Sunday morning. He just loves the sport.
How much does it take out of your time, though? Because it's not really, it's not like sort of taking him to the rugby at Kelham Road and 2 hours later you're home again, is it?
No, there's a lot of preparation. We have to load up the night before and sort, Tyler sorts the baits out.
McDonald's in the morning.
McDonald's. always have a McDonald's.
They ought to sponsor you.
But yeah, it is a lot to do. I sit with him for the 5 or 6 hours, watching him and helping him if need be. But it's very rare that.
Are you allowed to coach?
I
know you only do the simple stuff. But
Tyler is beyond me now. He's on his way.
We're going to find out a little just before the end just how far Tyler Bird is going to go with this fishing. I just get the impression, Tony, that it's probably going to be an awful long way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, again, we get the youngsters in on the show, and then it's like sort of, it's a very daunting experience to come into a radio station for the first time. But he's just, you know, taken to it like a fish to water.
But he's asked the... Let's go for a break. It's Tuesday, it's a very important month for Newark Striders, and the man to tell us all about it, of course, is Newark Striders' very own Graeme Walsh. Graeme, welcome back to a new year.
Yeah, happy new year to everybody. It's, January, it's an important year, good important month of the year, and in terms of running, it's a month where there's a lot of cross-country running taking place, so that's exactly what's been occupying a lot of the club members over the last weekend. Starting on Saturday at the Notts AAA Cross Country County Championships at Woolerton Hall. And three Newark Striders were participating in that. We had Lewis Hopkinson. He finished in 36.30. He was 50th in the event. Noel Henderson was fourth in his age group category with 42 minutes and 12 seconds. And Peter Davis finished the 5.5-mile course in 44 minutes and 11 seconds, which was good enough for third in his age group. So that's a county championship cross-country bronze medal for in his age group for Peter Davis. So well done, Peter. Well done, everybody there. And on to Sunday, and it was more cross-country and even more Striders taking part. So 31 club members turned out at Bramcott Park to take part in the first event of the East Midlands Cross-Country Championship Series. And we had 15 men and 16 women taking part in the races. And in the women's race, which is 2.7 miles long, the first to cross the line was Philippa Clark, 24 minutes and 38 seconds. And I certainly won't read it, everybody out, but I'll run through a few people sort of at random. We had Chris Craig finished in 30 minutes and 41 seconds. We had Claire Stainton and Leslie Butlin finished together, both in 31 minutes and 49 seconds. Anthea Moisey, 32 minutes, 56 seconds. And Clay, 35 minutes and 43 seconds. So, as I understand it, because I wasn't there myself, the course, it wasn't particularly muddy this year. It's not been too wet, but certainly the clue's in the name of the Bramcott Hills and some very stiff uphill climbs as part of the course. Some downhill sections, of course, naturally as well, but some very tough climbs as part of that course. In the men's event, which is 5.4 miles long, which is basically two laps of the same course, Jan Bailey was the first across the finishing line for the Striders. He was in 12th place overall in 37 minutes and 40 seconds. And then picking again a few people at random, Simon Palmer, 46 minutes under 4 seconds. David Cross, 46 minutes and 10 seconds. Peter Davis, you may remember that he was in action the previous day, so he finished the course in 48 minutes under 40 seconds. Andrew Vosper, 50 minutes and 12 seconds. Dan Arquell, 61 minutes and 21 seconds. So, yeah, 15 men, 16 women. A fantastic turnout at Bramcott for Newark Striders. Stephen Gerd, he's one of our club members. He was taking part in a 10K event in Nottingham. That's a virtual live 10K run. And he finished that event in 52 minutes and 15 seconds. and other things that are happening in the club at the moment. Some people, including myself, are starting our sort of marathon training, so our 16-week marathon training plan leading up to spring marathons sort of starting to kick in now, and some long weekend runs coming up for those members taking part in marathons in the springtime. Other things, very importantly this week, it's the first week of our 12-week Step Into Striders programme, which is a couch to 5K programme. It's been very successful in previous years, and I was at the first meeting last night. It was, again, a great turnout and a really sort of good programme just starting off last night. It's not too late to join, so if you're listening and thinking, yeah, I think that programme's for me, then just contact the club through either by email from the website or via social media. Easy enough to find on there, but it's never too not too late to start the Step Into Striders programme.
You can start this week, and in a year's time, you can be doing what Graham's doing, building them up to a marathon.
Well, funny you should say that. Really, sometimes people, you know, within one to two years, are doing half marathons and marathons. Once the bug bites, some people gets very serious and take part in marathons and things like that. But that's not the aim for everybody. It's again sort of just aiming to get people a little bit more active, and it provides a forum, an opportunity for people who don't really know perhaps how to start running or who to start running with. It's a perfect place to meet other people who want to start a running journey, and where that journey ends is different for different people, but it's started last night and going very well. Other things that are happening, we've got the Red January, which is a run every day. It stands for, though, in actual fact, that just means doing something active every day. That's a nationwide, again, mental health awareness sort of month, association with a few of the main sort of charities and agencies to do with mental health. So many runners around the country and locally within our club and other local clubs are taking part in the Run Every Day initiative. So there's plenty going on at the moment and some exciting times ahead.
Most certainly, Adam. We're going to keep with you every week throughout the year, Graham, because if 2019 is anywhere near as good as 2018 for Newark Striders, you've got some cracking stories to tell us.
Great stuff.
We'll keep up with you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye now.
Thanks, Graham. Graham Welsh there with all the Newark Striders news, and tomorrow night, it's not Fast Turn to tell us what they've been up to and what's coming up in January for the team in the yellow. Right, Tyler, I think you've got one more thank you to say.
Could I say a big thank you to Mark Neal? When I first started 2 years ago fishing for Newark Working Men's, he's helped me out silly amounts. So I'd like to say a big thank you to him. And also Ben Dutton with getting me involved with the Lake Snakes, AC. He's helped me a lot with joining Winter League, helping me out with the Winter League. And, I wouldn't be here without them two.
Before I ask one final question of where you're going to end up, we haven't talked a lot about sea fishing. Are you... I mean, I know the problem is you live in Newark, which is not a great help for sea fishing, but have you tried it? Do you enjoy it? Is it something you want to do again?
I've done it once. I only caught about two fish, but I did enjoy it. I'd like to do it again, but catch more fish this time.
Where did you go?
Cornwall.
Cornwall, well, there you go. Definitely mine. Whereabouts did you go sea fishing?
In the sea.
Okay. There's always one. And that's the end of tonight's show. Off what town, Dad, did he go sea fishing?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
In the sea. Whose idea was it to have youngsters on this show? Right. For somebody who quite evidently lacks confidence, where do you want to end up with this fishing thing? Is it just something that's a child or sport, or is fishing something that you think you can continue through the years at school when you've got your big exams and everything to come, and when you leave and go into the sort of big outside world, is fishing something you at the minute you think you want to carry on doing? Because you've already said there is a potential there. It pays well.
Yeah, I would love to carry on after I've left school. I'd love to stay going on now. Like, I just love it. My dream is to get into Fishomania, so win big money.
Tell me what Fishomania is, then.
You have to qualify for it. You have to fish a few qualifiers, and it's against some of the best commercial anglers in the country.
Okay, so that's the aim, is it?
Yeah, that's
the goal.
That's what I want to do.
First aim is April, but you're already fishing in a league. How are you doing in the, what I suppose must be the Winter League?
Yeah, in the Winter League, I'm lying fourth.
And this is just to stop you, this is not a kiddies league, no. This is the big boys league.
Yeah, this is against adults, some of the best anglers around the area, I'd like to think. I'm lying fourth at the minute. I've got another match, I think it's in 3 weeks, and it could get me second if I do any good, second or third. But I'm only a few points behind third, so hopefully I can beat him.
Do you will you wait for that one then, or do you go out every weekend, whatever the weather? It's time to go fishing.
This week I'm going out with Shadrach. He's helped me a lot. We're on a match at Aston Park Fisheries near Sheffield. My first time ever fishing that venue, so that should be good fun. And then the week after that, I'm fishing another match with Shadrach at Springvale near Markhamore roundabout, so not too far to travel for us. And a McDonald's near there. So.
I'm not sure if he likes McDonald's or fishing. The best, to be honest, here. Tyler, you've been a great sport.
Thank you.
You've actually been a laugh a minute. You really have. It's been great. And it's the first time you've been in, but I somehow don't think it'll be the last time that we've seen or heard from the young man that is literally taking the fishing world by storm. Tyler, thank you for coming
in.
Thank
you.
The best of luck in April.
Thank
Dad's promised is going to keep in touch with how you're getting on so we can put it all over social media. So you'll do that for us, and we'll tell everybody out there how he's getting on. Tony, I think our first guest of the new year, and we've found another star.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing though, because it's only January the 8th and we've already got the answer of the year.
So where did you go sea fishing?
In the sea.
In the sea. I suppose I asked for it, didn't I? Ask the obvious questions, you get the obvious answers. Dear, oh dear, but again, a young man that the stereotype Newark youngster. It just isn't, is it? Because every single one that's come in here has been burned, and this young man's just kept that ticking.
I think that is the case, that, you know, people sort of look at the kids hanging around on street corners and think, well, that's typical Newark. And then you get a show like this that showcases the fact that out there are some absolute gems, you know, and I'm so glad that they belong.
We've certainly found one here.
Yeah, I'm just so glad they belong to the sporting world. We're very lucky.
We're very lucky. So we thank them, both Tyler and Dad, for coming in tonight. Tomorrow night, we're turning our attention to cricket, something that you claim to know a little bit about.
That's never happened.
But
as I'm sure Stuart will back you up.
What happened last summer?
He's not a journalist, but he already misquotes people.
What happened last summer at Claypole nearly cost us another village club, because their pitch that they couldn't do any work on, and the sheer hot weather, as you remember, their pitch just burnt up. And they ended up, thankfully, going and playing on another village. So the story is all about village cricket, which we spoke about time and time again, and we can't afford to lose any more clubs. So Mark Revel's coming in tomorrow night, and he's going to tell us all about Claypole Cricket Club and all the problems that they had last summer, and hopefully how they've got round all those problems, and we still will have a Claypole Cricket Club in 2019, because we can't afford to lose any of them. We really can't. So that's tomorrow night, but for the rest of tonight, the band that sings the blues, Mr. Stuart Preston's back.